Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Mike Cooper joins us right now. Certainly nothing to be embarrassed about. President-elect of St. Tammany Parish. And you St. Tammany Parish residents, if you all have any questions, please feel free to call in at 260-1870 and we will let you talk to your newly elected president. Hey, Mike, how you?
Good morning, Tommy.
Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you so very much.
What is it? I want to find out a little bit about you. Where did you grow up? What about your parents? What did you do in high school, et cetera? You know what I mean? Give me a little backstory on Mike Cooper.
Wow, Tommy, thank you. I'm a lifelong resident of St. Tammany Parish. My family's been here for generations. I grew up in Covington and went to local schools, public schools, and private schools. I graduated from St. Paul's School in Covington. Mm-hmm. And worked my way through college, earning a degree from the University of Southwestern Louisiana in Lafayette. I've got a BA degree with a major in city and regional planning.
Wow.
Growing up, my mom and dad, and I have four younger siblings here in Covington. They still live here. And my dad ran for mayor of Covington in 1967, won the election, and served for 24 years as mayor of Covington.
Wow. So politics is nothing new to you or your family?
No, it's not. I believe, his inspiration that gave me interest in politics. I was always involved in politics and government. And in 2011, I was elected mayor of Covington.
So you've got leadership experience.
Yes, sir. And served for 8 years. And left office July 1st of this year and ran full-time a campaign for parish president for St. Tammany.
You must have known that this is what you wanted to do for a living because you majored in city planning, right?
Yeah. However, I did not take office until 2011. But I used the experience of city planning in on serving the citizens of Covington on the Planning and Zoning Commission mm-hmm. for 10 years in the late 90s.
What about high school, Mike? Did you play football, athlete, musician, debate club? What kind of high school guy were you?
Well, I was not the team quarterback or the star on the basketball team or track team. I was the team manager my junior and senior years.
Really?
Yes. I was the head football manager and basketball track manager my junior and senior year.
Seemed like you always want to be helping people a little bit.
Well, I guess so. My life has always been revolved around community service and public service.
You a married guy, I presume?
Yes, I am. I'm married to Catherine Guastella, and she and I live here in Covington, and we have two adult sons with two grandchildren.
The sons are still on a payroll? I'm guessing not, huh?
No, they're on the South Shore.
No, I mean on your payroll. I see what you're saying. Yeah, because I still got an adult kid on a payroll, and I always like to ask my fellow parents that, are still on a payroll or not.
No, they're young men on their own.
Was the campaign a family operation?
Yes, it turned into a family operation. I basically started campaigning as I was termed out as mayor. Started campaigning about a year and a half ago. Earnestly, and it became a family campaign after July 1st. Catherine was very involved, and my siblings and my cousins and their cousins and Catherine's family as well. So we had a large family rooted here in St. Tammany that helped in the campaign.
Our discussion this morning, Mike, is going to kind of be like River Road. It's going to wind here and wind there, and I want to make some stops occasionally to talk to the listeners and give them a chance to talk to their new parish president, specifically in St. Tammany Parish. That's what we're going to do with Elizabeth right now. Hey, Elizabeth, good morning. You're on WWL.
Good morning, and congratulations, Mayor, on your victory.
Thank you.
My question this morning is, we have a huge traffic problem on the western portion of the parish, and I'm aware that the state is planning on widening I-12, but is that also going to include widening the flyover from 190 onto I-12?
No. The project that has been approved and in design stages now will not include any flyovers or a major ramp improvements. It will simply add lanes to I-12 between, there are two phases. It will add lanes between 1077 and Highway 21, and then 21 to 190 and 190 to 59. Actually, there's two phases, but it includes from 59 all the way to beyond Highway 21 going west.
Okay. So how are we going to alleviate the 190 backups that are plaguing us constantly?
Well, again, it's phases. The projects can be done in phases, and not until just recently, even though there were conceptual plans, final plans are being developed now. So everything's going to be done in phases, and the flyovers and other improvements at I-12 intersections, particularly Highway 190, will be in future phases.
All right, we take a break here. More with Mike Cooper when we come back, president-elect of St. Tammany Parish. Pat Brister was a friend of ours. We like her. We like Mike Cooper. And the only reason I mention all of this is when we come back, Mike, obviously you saw a need for St. Tammany Parish, something that you could do better. So I guess looking ahead, what is it that made you decide to run for parish president, and what are the issues that you thought you could do a better job on? And I just say that because I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus here or anything. 9:18 more when we come back with Mike Cooper, newly elected president of St. Tammany Parish. If you have any questions like Elizabeth did, 260-1870, and we'll be glad to put you on with Mike, or you can text him in 870-870 and I'll pass him along. Tommy Tucker, WWL. 9:22, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking with president-elect of St. Tammany Parish, Mike Cooper, finding out a little bit about him, and also taking your questions, if you are from St. Tammany Parish, about what it is you would like to see done in the parish, or something that is being done very well already and you don't want to see change. Says this text, my question to the new parish president is, what can you do to make the west side of the parish Slidell area seem like they're not the stepchild or stepchildren of the parish?
Well, I believe in serving the entire community. And by that, I mean, we've got 14 parish councilmen that serve our parish. I'll work with each and every parish councilman to address the needs in every part of the parish. We've got eight municipalities within St. Tammany Parish that are governed by mayors and their city councils. And we've got all the unincorporated areas throughout the parish. I plan to be very engaged throughout the parish, whether it be providing funding for projects throughout the parish, parks and playgrounds, all the types of services and improvements that our citizens expect.
When it comes to the question I asked you before we went to the break, you decided to challenge the president, the current president, you know what I'm trying to say, the incumbent president, Mike. What was it that made you decide to run? And apparently, I would think you had some kind of vision about how things were, how they could be better, and specifically some of the things that you thought you could improve.
Well, certainly, when we serve in public office, we know that it's a 4-year term. typically, and we have to reapply for the job every 4 years with the public. As mayor of Covington, I worked with Parish President Brister and her staff. I worked with other mayors around our parish. And so as I was termed out after two terms, the parish president was eligible for another term. Mm-hmm. However, I felt that my experience, my executive management experience as mayor of Covington, my record of success in providing improvements and services that our citizens were looking for within the revenues that we received, in taking in building a workforce, a top workforce here at the city of Covington that actually received awards and recognition for the past 5 years as a top workplace. I wanted to take that experience to serve at the parish level. I'm a lifelong resident of St. Tammany, and I love St. Tammany, and I love public service.
But apply it how? And here's the thing, and I'm certainly not trying to be rude to you, but your term was limited as Mayor Covington, and the parish presidency was up, so you could run for that. I presume you didn't just run because you wanted the job or needed a job. I presume you ran because you had a vision of how things could get better in the parish. And if you're going to have a vision, then I would think you got a list of priorities and those kind of things. I guess specifically, the awards that you won in Covington, the experience that you gained, how are you going to apply that to St. Tammany Parish? And in what specific areas did you think, I guess you could do them better than the current president, because otherwise you wouldn't have ran, right? So I guess I'm just trying to figure out in your mind, Mike, some priorities as it related to your running, thinking, you know what, this needs to be done, that needs to be done, et cetera.
Well, actually, I do have some priorities. I wish to prioritize and provide improvements based on our citizens' needs without raising taxes. We've lost revenue in the past several years in St. Tammany, and I want to be able to provide the improvements within the revenue that we receive. I want to streamline the processes and procedures in the planning and building permit offices that are taking an extreme amount of time to go through the processes for obtaining permits, which time means money to developers and builders. And we want to make sure that those processes are streamlined. And I want to help our municipalities grow and thrive while helping our businesses to grow and flourish.
Does that all come back, Mike, to taxation and efficiencies? And if you don't raise taxes and make the procedures easier, what you're saying is you want the parish to grow and grow and provide jobs?
Well, absolutely. Higher taxes does not equate to better jobs.
Right.
We want to maintain the tax base that we have, a tax base that can provide the amenities and improvements that our citizens deserve and our business owners expect.
What are some? I'm sorry, Mike. Okay. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just can't tell when you stop talking.
Okay, so our parish is growing. We're developing quite rapidly, and the infrastructure is not keeping up with the development at this time. So we've got to plan and develop smarter so that we can have our infrastructure keep up with the development.
So without new taxes, where's the money come from to improve the infrastructure, and what kind of time period are you looking at? If you had to say, give an estimate as to how behind the infrastructure is to the current rate of development, you're going to have to do X amount just to catch up, but then you got to prepare for future development as well, right?
Exactly. I'm not saying that we need more taxes. What I'm saying is that we have a tax base now. I am going to, upon taking office, review the revenue that we're receiving, where that revenue is being directed, and how we can best allocate to the priorities that are needed, including infrastructure, and all the other amenities that our citizens deserve, like recreation fire services, and all of the amenities.
So you're not going to raise taxes. I understand that revenue does have to come from somewhere. Are you saying that sufficient revenue exists now in the parish and it's a matter of priorities? And if that is what you're saying, what kind of priorities now are misplaced?
Okay. Wow. Within the
Well, tell you what.
The tax base is going,
take a
the
second.
Tax base is going down $25 million over
Mike,
the past
Mike, hang
years.
On if you can. That's a lot to cover and unpack, and we're going to do it when we come back because we've got to take a break, and I don't want to interrupt you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mike Cooper is our guest, president-elect of St. Tammany Parish. If you have any questions or comments for him, you can text him in at 870-870. Or you can call 260-1870 and you can talk directly to Mike Cooper, 930, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back in a bit. Right now, though, we take a look at traffic. All right, it is 936, 24 before 10. Mike Cooper, our guest, president-elect of St. Tammany Parish. So, Mike, before we went to break, you talked about the infrastructure lagging behind the development of St. Tammany Parish. The answer is not to raise more taxes. Obviously, you got to get up to even first before you can plan for the future. And what would those plans look like?
Well, we've got to look at the plans. We need to update our comprehensive master plan for St. Tammany Parish. It's required by law that we maintain an updated comprehensive master plan so that we can receive input from our citizens as well as consultants to determine how our parish wants to develop. We need to finalize and adopt a major thoroughfare plan, which delineates our roadways, our existing roadways, and any future roadways, because we're experiencing a traffic problems across our parish, particularly traffic that needs to go east and west. And without an adopted major thoroughfare plan, we won't be able to receive any grants or funding to make improvements. And we've also have to develop a master drainage plan, which combines the studies of the five watershed basins that we have in St. Tammany, so to make sure that they are interconnected. These are some of the plans, the basic plans that we have to address as we're moving forward.
This is a long-term proposition, right? I mean, first you got to get the studies, then you got to get the fight to get the grants, I guess. Or you said the grants are already available?
Well, the grants are available once plans are developed.
Right.
So, yes, grants are available. I want to maintain my relationships that I have with our state delegation, legislative delegation. We have a new legislative delegation. My contacts with DOTD here at District 62 out of Hammond and in Baton Rouge. And my contacts at the federal level are U.S. congressmen and state U.S. senators and the offices in Washington, D.C. in order to obtain funding for roadway improvements and traffic improvements.
But for people that sit in traffic today, and you don't have any control over this, it is what it is. This could be a long-term thing, right, Mike, where you first got to get the grant, then you start construction. So do you have any possible kind of time frame for people to give them some hope that are sitting in this traffic every day?
Sure. Well, projects are underway at this time. There are projects on I-12. We spoke about that earlier. There is funding and hope for some lane expansion on I-12. We what's a pressing issue right now is the overpass on Highway 190 at Covington. The overpass on and Collins Boulevard expansion, the first phase of that project is in design right now. Our public always ask about this project that is woefully behind, but it is moving forward now, and funding is available for that. So there are projects in progress right now that's going to alleviate some of the traffic issues that we have. But we want to be able to maintain the momentum of making traffic improvements and roadway improvements, and I plan to keep my relationships and leverage my relationships with the agencies I spoke of earlier to get further funding and planning done for future projects.
Let's get to some listener questions. The taxpayers, the customers of ours, if you will. Tommy, please ask President-elect Cooper what his plans are for all of the strip malls that sit vacant while they build new strip malls, and why we don't put these vacant ones into commerce before building new ones. And what about the shopping center by Kohl's with all the vacant buildings with the rep blowing off of them in the wind?
Yes, our developers, our business owners wish to develop new shopping centers or strip shopping malls. I agree with the caller that I don't like seeing empty storefronts. And, you know, but a developer has a right to develop their property under the guidelines, building guidelines, and, you know, meeting all the guidelines. However, I'd like to see that as well. I'd like to see our storefronts filling up before new shopping centers come online. With regard to the large shopping center that he's referring to at I-12 and Highway 21, that bothers me. The large infrastructure shell of buildings that are there, I believe through code enforcement, we need to take appropriate action to remove that property because it's been sitting there vacant. It's just a shell for some time. And I would like to look into how we can address removing that structure, having the property owner remove that structure.
So it would seem like if a strip mall is empty, it's because businesses failed, and there could be a myriad of reasons for that, one of which could be it's just not a good location. So if that's the case, it would be hard to get somebody else to locate there, right? And as it relates to zoning or permitting, it's not the government's duty to tell whoever wants to develop it, well, it's probably not a good spot for you.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Through zoning, if we continue to expand commercial zoning beyond the major highway frontage and commercial corridors, then it allows these properties perhaps to not be beneficial to new business owners.
Can you please ask Mr. Cooper if he would be open to changing the parish employee health care if you could save over $1 million a year? I don't know anything about that. Mike, is that an issue with the parish employees?
Well, I'm not aware of that, but I can tell you I'll probably have been contacted by at least 10 benefit providers that want to look at our health and medical provisions that we provide to parish employees. I have not looked at that those policies at this time.
So basically, Mike, is everything on the table right now? Everything open to review?
Yes, it is. President Brister has offered a smooth transition. I've established a transition team. They will start meeting with department heads next week and subsequent weeks in December, and meeting with department heads and providing a departmental overview of the departments that are operating now, and provide me with suggestions and how each department is running and what they may feel and what the employees feel, how their department can be improved. And it will allow me to get off the ground running in January when I take office on January 13th.
Please, says this text, ask Mr. Cooper to check on when will lighting be put up on Oak Harbor at I-10 on-ramp and off-ramps. Also need traffic lights at those exits.
Well, I'm very familiar with that. Some of the residents in the Eden Isles, Moonraker area have brought that to my attention. And actually, Catherine and I, last weekend, one evening, we went to the Harbor Center, and we noticed how dark that intersection is. It's a major intersection off of I-10 at Oak Harbor, and it merits lighting at this intersection. And I'm going to work with the Regional Planning Commission to put this on the forefront for providing a lighting project at I-10 and Oak Harbor.
I live in Belchase, Mike, and when I make my yearly fireworks run, I got to tell you, it amazes me how dark it is there. It really is dark. Somebody texted in here about, is there any way to turn empty buildings back into green space after a period of time?
Well, I'm sure there are requirements for, for properties that do not meet code. They can be, with proper notice, the owners can be notified to condemn the build or to demo the buildings after they're condemned. But there is a process to take place. The property has to be condemned, not necessarily just empty and meets all codes. But if they do not meet codes, there is a process for taking properties out of commerce and in fact, condemning them and demolishing them.
Are you open to anything in terms of outside the box, Mike? If anybody has any idea how they can make St. Tammany Parish better, make it work better, more user-friendly, are you open to any ideas that anybody may have? And that's not to say that you're going to adopt them, but you'll at least look at them?
No, absolutely. As I campaigned across the parish for the past year and a half, I received advice and suggestions and many ideas from our citizens on how to improve traffic, how to improve lighting, how to improve the quality of life here in St. Tammany. And I am absolutely open to new ideas. I surround myself with, on my transition team, there are people of ideas, there are leaders in our community. It's a small transition team. I could have had a team of 50, 75, or 100, but I kept it as a small team. But I am absolutely open to new ideas from our citizens and business owners and our corporate owners as well.
Can you make the Zoning Commission's no buttons work? And I guess this is a tongue-in-cheek or sarcastic text. I have never seen them use it. It is... unbridled zoning a problem? Because I can't say unrestricted, because apparently there are zoning laws. But have you heard a lot of that from people when you were running? Because I know it's a fine line, I would think, Mike, between development and jobs and taxes and so forth, not individual taxes, but taxes paid by businesses to the St. Tammany Parish government. Is there a fine line there between too much development and how do you know where to draw the line there?
Well, yes, it is. The Zoning Commission, of course, has its requirements. They have the legal authority to make recommendations to change the zoning. And, of course, it's confirmed by the parish council. The Zoning Commission has that right to review the case and make decisions. It's not the ultimate decision, but... you know, property owners every month submit applications to change zoning from residential, single-family residential to multifamily residential or single-family residential to commercial. And our staff, the administrative staff of parish government, provides information to the Zoning Commission so that they can make an educated decision on whether the zoning should be changed or not. I believe zoning has been changed in a rather fast pace, and we'll just have to see in the future, based on the information that the zoning commissioners receive on each case, that they've got to make a decision that they feel is warranted for both the property owner that's making the request and the residents that already live here and have established neighborhoods. Their considerations have to be taken as well.
To end on a positive note here, you're a lifelong resident of St. Tammany, you said, right?
Yes.
So you apparently believe it's a great place to live, and as do thousands and thousands of people. What is it about St. Tammany that is working now that you don't want to see change at all?
Well, St. Tammany, we've got a great parish here. We've got a great workforce. We've got great education. We've got great fire departments and law enforcement, our sheriff's department, our municipal police departments. We've got a great quality of life here. More and more people are moving over here. We've got to, continue to provide for the growth, plan for the growth in advance, so that we can maintain the quality of life that people like me that have lived here all of their lives continue to see, and those who move here for the assets and benefits I just talked about will stay here. We'll continue to attract jobs, working with our economic development group, St. Tammany Corp, and our tourist commission to bring jobs here and to bring people to our parish.
Mike,
to enjoy what we have.
This is the first time we talk to you. If there's some type of emergency, severe weather, we'll be talking to you a lot. Are you confident in terms of parish preparations as they stand now for some type of bad weather situation, et cetera?
Yes, I am. We've got the parish has emergency operations center and has staff and has a plan in place for emergency operations, and I feel through this smooth transition, after taking office on January 13th, I'll be prepared to respond to any type of emergency that we have.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time. Good luck, President-elect of St. Tammany Parish. I hope you and your family have a delightful Thanksgiving, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. 9:52, back in a flash here on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.